Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, welcome to Finish Well Radio. Today we have a very special guest, Marla Stevens, a gifted musician. Welcome, Marla.
I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we are excited to have you here today, too. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I went to Stetson University in college. I graduated in 2011, and I pursued music while I was there. And then currently, I am working, but I also do a lot for my church. So I'm on our worship team and in the teen ministry and just kind of ministering and working things out, but currently that's where I'm at, of playing music with my worship team and working.
Marla, you have been playing the piano since you were 8 years old. Now, I am so excited to be able to listen to Marla every Sunday at church when she plays the keyboard, and I've been able to attend some of her concerts, and I have also been able to be there when she's leading worship on the guitar. So she's not just a piano player. She's a talented musician. She can sing. But she ended up using her music to glorify God, and she had an extraordinary talent in music. It was evident right away to her parents. So, Marla, talk to us about your major in college and what led you to pursue that major. Did you feel like other people wanted you to do that? Tell us a little bit about that road.
Sure. So I ended up majoring in piano performance. In music itself, it has a lot of different avenues that you can choose, but I chose piano performance. I started playing when I was 8. My grandmother actually wanted someone to play piano in the family, and none of her kids did, so my mom had me play piano. And so, of course, in the beginning at 8, it was my mom having me take lessons. But as I grew up, I started loving music in general, and then just playing piano was kind of my outlet for that. And so by the time I was in 8th or 9th grade, my piano teacher, who also majored in piano performance when she was in college, had begun talking to me about what I wanted to do, and, you know, that she was like, you know, we can pursue this a little harder for music, and is that the way that you want to go? And so it was just kind of looking at music and looking at my future, and I was playing a lot of sports at the time, but I knew in college you can't really major in sports, so I looked at music as more of the extracurricular activity that I was doing that I could actually major in, because I did love it. And so in 9th grade is when I really got really serious about it, and it was something more that I was choosing to do. And so I was practicing more, taking different classes, and so I chose to go to Stetson. And pretty much since 9th grade, I had chosen that I wanted to go to Stetson University, because people before me that took from my teacher went there. It's just, in general, it's a very good music school. It's very prestigious, and so that was my goal. And so I worked towards that, to go to Stetson as a piano performance major.
Awesome. Now tell us about majoring in piano at Stetson University. What was that like? What did you do? What kind of classes did you take? I know you got to go on some trips, so tell us all about it.
Yeah, so I went kind of not knowing fully what to expect. They do, as a music major, they do kind of a prep session with you before you start, and they kind of lay out your whole 4 years for you. And so what they ended up doing, Stetson is very heavy on the music theory side. They actually have one of the best programs for music theory in the state. Pretty much take music theory the whole time you're there. And so it's, you know, learning from back when they first started playing music all the way through 21st century music. And you have a whole semester of just 21st century music, which was an interesting class. So there's a lot of music theory, a lot of learning what music is about, how it was created, a lot of music history classes. I took this called oral training class, and so you basically, it's listening to music without seeing the actual music written out for you, and you have to then write out the music of what it is. So listening to the music, listening to the chord changes, all of that, and then writing it down. A lot of writing melodies, a lot of singing melodies. That wasn't fully my strong suit of just looking at a melody and just being able to sing it, sight reading it. You took 3-4 semesters of that as well, so 2 full years of that. There were a lot of classes that were very practical, so there was a sight reading class for piano where she puts something in front of you and you have to learn how to play it. There was also classes about accompanying, for myself as a piano major, accompanying other musicians, vocalists, and being able to work and collaborate with people. And then just a lot of practical, you had lessons every week with your professor. And then meanwhile, all of those music classes, you then had to also just make sure you're doing the regular work of just the core classes that you have to take when you go to college, like English, a language. What was really cool is that the language I ended up taking, they kind of work a lot with the music school just because language is such a big part of operas and music in general. So I took German in college, and I ended up being able to go on a trip my junior year. That summer, I went to a music festival.
Marla, before you tell us about the music festival, can you explain a little more how language has so much to do with music, and also what languages in particular are good for people who want to pursue music to learn?
Sure. Music, especially when it's vocal music, is very big in other countries and in just in history. And so, you know, when you're singing a song and you don't know what you're actually singing, there's a lot of learning what the music is saying. And for myself, as a piano major who didn't have words that I was singing, a lot of the markings are in a different language because it was a German composer or it was an Italian composer who's writing this music. And so learning the language, learning what they were saying and feeling, helps you emote the emotion they're trying to get out of the piece. And also just being able to understand their, and that's what music history came into play, because you learned about all of these different cultures. And so learning what was going on in the time when Bach was writing his pieces, or what was going on when Rachmaninoff was, you know, composing all of these concertos, right, and being able to get the history and the background to the music so that you understood where they were coming from when you're playing the music. The big languages and the ones that they give you as a requirement to learn is you usually pick between, at least for myself as a piano major, it was picking between German or French, just because that's what the school had.
Gotcha.
Spanish really isn't a big one for them, okay, even though there are a lot of, you know, big Spanish composers, but the majority of the classical music, of the historical music, really comes from Germany, Italy, and the France area and things like that. So those languages, I know vocalists have to take more languages. They usually take like one semester of every language.
Oh, wow.
So that they understand what's going on in every language and learning the dialect and learning how to,
gotcha,
speak it so that they can sing it better. But as a musician or an instrumentalist, you have to take 2 semesters of just one language.
Okay. So would Italian and Latin be good languages to consider too?
They would. You also want to look at the college and see what they're going to be offering as languages, because if you only spend your time learning Italian in your school years, and then you go to a school that doesn't offer that, you're going to have to pick a different language to learn.
Gotcha.
But I would say looking at least a little bit into every language is going to be very good, especially Latin, Italian, because those roots are throughout all of that history and those languages. And so I saw that when I was younger. I ended up taking French for 4 years in high school, and then I went to college and my professor really wanted to take German, so I switched over to German. I did have both of those backgrounds of French and German going into college.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Now go back to the music festival. You talked about going to a music festival. Tell us all about that.
Yes. So my German professor teamed with our music department, actually my piano professor, and there's a music festival every year in Italy that you have to audition for and go through a process. And so the time your sophomore, junior year, our professor really likes us to go ahead and audition to see if we can make it. And I did. And so I was able to go over to Italy for, it was about 3 weeks. and just explore Italy. And he goes over there every year all the time. So he knows the whole area. So it was really cool going with someone who knew what they were doing and seeing and being able to converse with people. So we actually stopped in Germany first before we went. We went a couple days early as a group. And so it was really good for me. My German classes came into play and being able to talk with people, see the culture that I've been learning about so much. And then we went over to Italy. We actually went to the northern part, so we were actually in the Alps themselves. And just waking up every morning and seeing the mountains around you. Oh, it was so pretty. And then at the same time, you walked everywhere. So there was this little town. So they taught us about the history of the town. And how half of the town knew German, half the town knew Italian, and they both kind of, they worked it out that way. And so the whole place knows both languages plus English. And so there was a university that was there, and that's where we would practice. Every day there was an afternoon recital, and then in the evening there was a concert that included both the students and the professors there. And then the whole town would come out. And so it was just very neat and interesting to be able to play in this huge church that had been there forever, and hear the acoustics of it and see how people used to do it back in the day as well. And so I was there and I learned a lot as a musician, as a performer. We did a lot of accompanying as well. The piano majors did a lot of accompanying for the singers there. And just got to see different parts. In the weekends, we could go on trips. And so we went on day trips to Austria. We went to Venice and Vienna. And so it was just very eye-opening for me. And to see that culture and to see music as a forefront. It's very different than America of the music appreciation, especially of classical music. And so kind of seeing how that played out in a different country was very interesting.
That is so exciting. Now, you touched very lightly on that you auditioned and you made it. This is a worldwide festival with the musicians coming from all over the world, so that's amazing. How did you become such a skilled piano player? Because I remember you practicing like 4 hours a day, wasn't it?
There were days that I definitely practiced that much if I realized how far I was behind on preparing for a recital. But when I was younger, it was my mom kind of sitting with me, practicing with me, and it was about 20 to 30 minutes. By the time I hit later elementary school years, middle school, she had backed away, and it was more of my responsibility to make sure I was practicing, and that was still about 30 minutes a day. But once my teacher and I decided this is really what I want to pursue for a career or for college as a major, and then she also had a concert team that she had added me to, the amount of practicing had to increase because the level of music increased of how hard it was. And so I was in middle school and high school, I was practicing at least an hour a day. And then especially around our different recitals, or especially for my audition for college, it was just kind of practicing until you got what you wanted. So I would set a goal for myself and say, I have to practice until I can get this far or memorize this much of the music. And then in kind of going from there, and then not just being like, oh, I did my 1 hour, I'm done, but really making sure my music and my practice was a quality instead of just a quantity of time. In that way, that's kind of, and then once I hit college, it was the same way. You, like, your professors expect you to practice until you can come in and play it how they want you to play it. And so finding that time while you're at college, because essentially it's another class for you to go an hour a week to your lesson, you then have to also the rest of the week be practicing at least an hour, 2 hours. I know people would practice overnight. So it really is just kind of looking at what you feel is going to be enough time to get done what you need to get done.
Now, emotionally, did you ever feel a lot of pressure to get your music perfect? And was that ever difficult? Did you find your other friends?
Yeah, it was. And I know I roomed with another music major, which was nice because she understood the struggle of a music major, because there's definitely this pull for me personally. It was an internal pull. I don't know if everyone goes through it, but I did, of wanting to, like, do I do my classwork? Do I do my homework? Or do I go to the practice room right now and practice? And so it was this constant pull of, if I'm doing my homework, I'm not practicing right now. Or if I'm practicing, I'm not doing my homework. And so how do you schedule it? How do you work it out? And I think there were a lot of nights that I didn't get as much sleep as I needed to, because it was either that I needed to study or finish a paper, or I needed to go to the practice room because I hadn't that day yet, and just being disciplined in knowing this is what I have to do today, I need to get it done. My roommate was a vocalist, and so she did have a lot as well. It seemed to be that I ended up practicing more than her, so there would be a lot of times that she would pull me, like, oh, let's go do this, let's go do that, and I definitely wanted to. There were certainly times, especially the first couple years, that I probably chose the wrong thing and didn't practice, and went off and did something else, or go hang out with their friends, or something like that. At the end of the day, or at the end of the week when I had to go to my lesson, I had to be accountable to my professor of what I had done, and he's going to be able to tell, because I'm going to play, and he's going to be like, oh, you didn't practice this week.
Right.
So, you know, there's definitely that accountability that kind of keeps you going and keeps that drive going, because you know someone's going to hear me, they're going to know, because these are all people who have studied music and they understand it, they know what it should sound like, and so you want to make sure that you live up to that, and you do want to play well as well. So, you know, the music that I was playing, I had a passion for, so I wanted to play it well.
Good.
And so it was a constant pull between the two, but it was definitely, music wise it was definitely worth it.
Well, I know that I want to commend you, because mm-hmm. you not only did all that, but you also were faithful, and you were at church every Sunday, you were at life group in the middle of the week, and I never knew how you did it all. Mm-hmm. I was always amazed. You alluded a little bit with all the practicing and with learning the language. What else did you do to prepare? Because you got into a very competitive school. It wasn't easy to get accepted into that major, so at Stetson University. So what are some of the things that you did?
It really came down to when I decided that was the major I wanted. It was around eighth grade. My mom had already decided to help me take longer lessons, which for them was more money, because now it's an hour instead of 30 minutes a week with my teacher. And then educationally, I did look at what the college wanted, and they wanted either French or German, so that's why I chose French instead of Spanish. And then I started taking different music classes. I took a music theory class. I actually took a class on accompanying and helped teach the class. It was supposed to be like a teaching how to play piano, but she also did some like jazz in there. So when she was teaching how to play piano, she would let me be off to the side just practicing my own music with headphones. But then when it came to like learning the different things or doing the sight reading, she'd have me join the class. Being homeschooled, I was homeschooled all the way through high school until I went to college, but the high school had the opportunity for me to just take one class there, so she let me take the music theory class there, and it was an AP class, and so it was very much of learning the background that I needed to, so it definitely made that first year at college easier, just because
gotcha.
People hadn't learned anything about music theory going into the first semester is very hard at college. So definitely suggest of, you know, of just the learning those kind of things. I did take a history class, actually, with you, and you did a lot of talking about the, you know, just it involved music, and it involved that
right.
whole part of it.
We
so learning
about
history, learning about art, learning about music at the same time with it, just taking history classes and looking not just at the general history, but looking at the music history part of it, or looking at, you know, what the culture was doing at the time. And you can see that in art and music. And so looking at things in that music lens, you know, everything I did was kind of just like, oh, that relates to this in music. Oh, that relates to this in music. So I'm just kind of being very aware of what you're learning and how it relates to music, because if music is a passion, you're going to want to learn more about it. And so not just learning the notes that are on the page, but why did they write them? How did they write them? Who wrote them? And so just looking at all of those questions.
That's awesome. Marla, we're going to take a break right now and listen to a word from our sponsor, Powerline Productions. And when we get back, we will be talking more about majoring in music at college.
Powerline Productions wants to help you celebrate special occasions with your family in a Christ-honoring way. The Celebrate series includes such titles as Celebrate Our Christian Heroes Instead of Halloween, Celebrate Thanksgiving, as well as Christmas Unit Studies, Celebrate Christmas in Colonial America, and Celebrate Christmas with Cookies. If you're looking for a new family tradition, learn all about the Nolet and Curtis Christmas Eve festivities in Celebrate Christmas with a Traveling Dinner. Check out these titles and more at powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions, being world changers, raising world changers.
You've been listening to Finish Well Radio on the Ultimate Radio Network. Now back to your host, Meredith Curtis.
Welcome back. We have been talking to Marla Stevens, and she has been sharing about her experience in majoring in music at Stetson University. We're going to plunge right back in to talking about your experiences, Marla. Mm-hmm. You ended up getting a minor as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I ended up getting a minor in business administration. It's the general business major that they have there at Stetson University. And I went to college not thinking about that. I just went to college just thinking about my piano major. They actually do kind of like a college success class and tell you about some other majors that they have. And there was this major that combined music and business. And when you graduated, you should be able to have a major in both. I decided too late to do that major. I wasn't able to have enough time to get a full major in business because I focused so much that first year on music because they give you so many classes. And, you know, you want to do them all right away so that you can finish them. And so the first year was just packed full of music classes and some of my core classes of English and things like that. And so my sophomore year, I really looked at it and saw, you know, what could I do? So I met with an advisor in the music school, and they kind of laid out what was needed for the major. And we realized we couldn't do that, but we did look at what the requirements for a minor were, and I pursued that. So every semester I took one or so classes towards a minor for business, and it actually ended up, I finished my music major a little early, so my last semester and a half, well, the last two semesters were basically all business classes, so it was very interesting, because my best friend also went to Stetson, and she was in the business school, and so I kind of saw the classes she was taking and how effective that was going to be, because once you hit sophomore, junior year, you're realizing, like, oh, there's something after college I need to prepare for, and this, you know, this business world, and you look at the business school and see, like, they're going to be very prepared for that, and so I wanted to try and do that as well, so I did take classes to pursue that minor, so I did graduate with that business administration minor, which did help me in the future to have both avenues to pursue of music or just a business career.
Awesome. And that is so true that if you're focusing on majoring in music, you just tend to focus on that. And then all of a sudden you're in the middle of college and you say, whoa, there's life. Yes. I'm going to graduate. What do I do?
Exactly.
Now tell us about some of your friends who majored in music and where they ended up career-wise.
Sure. My roommate actually decided after the first year she wanted to be a music education major, so she wanted to teach music in the school system, and there's a lot of requirements for that, so it's not just I could decide now, oh, I want to go teach in the public school system, and there's a lot of testing and different things that go into it. So when you go down that major in college, they actually kind of prepare you for all of that and have you take the test while you're there so that right out of college you can do that. So she went that route, which she was still a vocalist in college, but majority of her classes focused around the education side. So she had to actually take just education classes outside of music, and then there were specific music education classes. So she currently, I know, is a music teacher, I believe, for a middle school, public middle school. I did have also a lot of friends who were vocalists who went off to get their master's, and then after their master's, they have a lot of church jobs. They'll sing for churches, bigger churches. They also did pursue opera. there's some that they moved up to New York so that they could try and get into the Met. I have at least just the chorus of the Met, which is amazing. So a lot of them did pursue more of that performance side, as well as there were people who just chose to pursue music. I had a friend, he ended up being a music minister at a church, and he's kind of moved a couple churches, and that's his main job as well. And I knew him from the music school as well as the groups on campus. So there's a lot of different avenues you can move into, and there's different majors within music itself that you can kind of pick from.
Now, are the jobs that, if you're going to work your way into, say, singing mm-hmm. for a living, how do you start out? Do you start out with a really good salary, or what's life like if you're going to try to break into the music industry?
Right. It's very much a job that's an entrepreneurial job. So it's very much you're having to promote yourself, you're having to put yourself out there in a lot of different ways. And almost every person that I have met who's pursuing just a performance type of career, it has been very challenging in the beginning just because nobody really knows who you are, and they're wanting somebody that they know. Gotcha. They're wanting somebody that in the industry is very much of somebody getting a job because you know somebody. It's very competitive. There are a lot of people who are very good at singing. There's a lot of people who are mediocre at singing, but they're very good at promoting themselves, so they're going to get it over somebody who may be better suited for the job. So it's very competitive in that way, and so it definitely takes somebody who can hear no a lot and can kind of work their way in somewhere. And if you can kind of get in somewhere and be their main person, and then you kind of grow that way, whether it's getting in with the local opera scene. I know a theater group here that does operas, and so if you kind of get in that groove, you might be able to get a little bit of steady income, but you have to be ready to not have a steady income. That's why a lot of them will play for churches, because a church is an every week job, and so they'll pay you. For me, that really wasn't an option, just because I already had a home church, and I didn't want to have to move like that or make that my job or career. It is very challenging and gritty, and I wanted something a little more steady than not knowing what was coming next.
So do they give you marketing classes in the music school, or is that something you just kind of learn on your own? How do these people do it?
They do. You have to take 2 semesters of a music career class, a career success class. And so they actually, it's one of the administrators, she isn't in the music school, but her husband is one of the music professors. So she comes in and teaches these classes and is very on the administrative side of everything. So you do learn how to market yourself. I had to come up with my own announcement to put in the newspaper, or to put on different articles. And then I had to come up with just everything about it and be able to market it. And so she kind of shows you how can you be marketable in this industry. And then you also, she brought in people who were consultants on music and the industry, and also brought in people who were in the banking system just to teach us about the financial side of things.
Oh, wow.
And a financial advisor, debt, and how do you work this out in an industry where you're not really making that much in the beginning. And so it was very, very eye-opening, and I would say that's the moment I realized I didn't like to market myself. I'm not very good at that, and so I think that was kind of the turning point for me. That happened in my sophomore year. So your sophomore year, you take these classes. And at that point, it was kind of late for me to turn away from a music major.
Right.
But I still did love music, and so I really wasn't thinking of after the fact of what I was going to do. So I still did pursue the music career. But there is definitely that opportunity to see exactly what a music career looks like. And there's plenty of professors you can ask them. A lot of them did share in their classes what their history was, what they went through as a musician, and how they got where they were.
Gotcha. That would be very helpful. You ended up pursuing more of a career in the business world instead. Mm-hmm. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so after college, when I had realized this really isn't for me in the way of a performance degree or a performance career. I did love music, and I have a passion for music, and I still do, even though it's not my career. But I had found in the business school that I did love marketing. I just didn't like my marketing myself. I liked marketing other people. So I did end up after college not really pursuing any kind of music career. The only thing I would have probably pursued would have been teaching music or teaching piano lessons, but just that in itself, there's a lot of finding people that want lessons and going into that. So it's very much that entrepreneur side of music, and so I didn't want to pursue that right away. So I did choose a job in business, but I still do a lot of music. It's still my passion is music. That's why I play on our worship team. I do like to do, you know, one-off things. I do the Christmas choir for the past few years, teaching and leading the Christmas choir at church. So kind of looking at it more in a way of my relationship with the Lord right now and how music fits in with that.
Gotcha. I see that. So give advice to someone considering music as a career. I know there are teens listening right now, and they're thinking, I love music. I want this to be my life. I want this to be my career. What would you say to them?
I would say first, look at, is it something that you're just passionate about? I guess the better way to put it is you are going to be passionate about a lot of things. The Lord is going to give you a lot of gifts in different areas. So just not looking at just what am I passionate about and that's what I want to have a career in, but looking at, do I really want a career in this? Like, am I passionate about a career in music rather than just am I passionate about music?
Okay, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
So because, you know, for me, I am very passionate about music. It's the way a lot of times I relate to the Lord. It's He did give me the gift of just being able to play music and to understand it, and I grew that passion through high school and college. But looking at it, I didn't see myself in a career of that. So the first thing I would say is definitely make sure that it's you're looking at a career that you have a passion for. If you have a passion for teaching and you love teaching music, then great, go that route. And there's definitely plenty of places that have music education as a major. If you do really love performing in the sense of concerts or whatever that may be, or playing in a band if you're a different instrumentalist than a pianist, I would definitely look into people who already have that career, right, and talking with them about it and seeing what it took for them to get there. Because a lot of times we look at it and think, oh, they auditioned for it and they got it. Well, yeah, but how many times did they get a no before they got to that place?
True.
So looking and seeing what their passion was and how they pursued it, I think is very important as well.
Okay, so how about those people who they listen to and they say, you know what, I really don't want a career in music, but I love music. What can I do to pursue music as a passion while I'm pursuing a different career?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me really was learning the background to music. So, you know, if you do go to college for something else, you want to be a finance major. You do have a lot of extracurricular classes that you have to take. So one of those you might want to be a music class. And so you can take just a one-off class while you're in college. Or if you do love it that much to make it a minor, you can do that as well. I know that there were a lot of people in the music school that were getting a minor in music as well. So that's always an option. Or just, you know, taking lessons on your own with somebody who loves music and has a passion and who can help grow you in that passion. And it's definitely, for me, it's been playing with, you know, playing in my church and having people who are passionate about the Lord and passionate about music has kept my passion alive for music. So being around people who have that passion is also helpful and who can kind of guide you in that and help you, and you can kind of encourage each other, I think is important. But definitely, you know, if you want to teach yourself, a lot of people are self-taught. If you want to teach yourself, reading through a music history book or anything like that, if you are, you know, you're still in high school right now and you want to take a class, then have that conversation with your parents so that they can kind of set you up for that and get you into a class or get the literature that they need to, so that you can take that class and learn more about music in that way as well.
Thank you so much, Marla. I know you have amazingly supportive parents, and I'm so grateful for the gift that you have in music and how you have developed that. And I just want to encourage you, if you love music, but you don't feel like that's what you want as your career, you can always have a double major of music and something else. You can have a music minor, or like Marla said,
you can take a few classes, or you can learn on your own. So all of those are options. And again, if you have a gift in music, cultivate it somehow for the glory of God. Marla, again, thank you so much for being with us. And to everybody, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Tune in next time.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.